Radio Chaser is brought to you by Seven Summer of Cricket. Every ball bowled, except when we have to throw to an ad break.
If you live in Sydney, there's only one breakfast show worth listening to. A show that celebrities beg to be on. A show that knows Sydney better than it knows itself. A show you can't ignore. Unfortunately, Carl and Jackie are on holidays. So instead, you might as well listen to the Radio Chaser Breakfast Show.
Yes, that's right. Good morning, Sydney. We're with you through till Christmas here on Triple M. Craig Rucastle, good morning to you.
Good to be here.
Charles Firth digging into some cereal.
Yep. Got my muesli.
And Andrew Hanson, you look absolutely pumped for a big 3 hours on the radio.
Oh, Domi, the Triple M staff are away, so I'm planning to have a drug-fueled party and ride around naked to the studio on the back of a goat.
It's going to be great.
Mind you, that's what they do anyway. But
I missed the Christmas
it's
party.
It's good
actually.
To be here. Look, I've got to say, it didn't start very well for me, this whole breakfast. This is the first day doing breakfast radio.
New job.
And you change things. And I really wanted to get it right. And I was particularly concerned about waking the rest of my family because my wife complains a lot that when I walk around the house, I sound like a baby elephant. So this morning... I get up, you know, it's 4 a.m. I don't want to wait.
Sorry, can I just clarify? Does that mean that you're really cute? Is she sort of saying, oh, look, a little baby elephant?
It's drinking milk.
Certainly not that I have a trunk.
walk around leaving massive poos behind you.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. So I wake up at 4 a.m. and I'm really conscious of being as quiet as possible, right? So I'm sneaking out of bed. I'm tiptoeing out of the room in the dark to try and make sure people stay asleep. And I step on bubble wrap. Who leaves bubble wrap in a bedroom? And it's like, I'm sneaking something.
But hang on, did you then find that you just couldn't resist but just stand there and step over and over and over and over again on the bubble wrap?
But I thought it was such a ridiculous thing. It was like, what's next? I'm going to step on a rake? Like this is like it's been written for some lame comedy.
Yeah, pane of broken glass moves through the bedroom and you can walk straight into
Did you find the source of the bubble wrap? I mean, what were they doing?
I think it must be because of Christmas wrapping stuff. I don't know.
Do you think your wife thought that maybe it'd be very quiet so you didn't wake anyone up? She'd bubble wrap it through the whole hall of the house. Stay nice and quiet.
Exactly. So, yeah, not a good start. But anyway, we're here.
We made it. Look, I found this morning, I'm quite surprised by this. Let us know if you've had this experience. I went to 7-Eleven at 4:30. Not open.
Not open.
24 hours.
It's the only thing about 7-Eleven. It's open 24 hours.
You go there, you're going to pay a bit much. The coffee's not great, but it's open. You can get a coffee any time of the day.
When you say you're going to pay a bit much, is the $1 coffee a bit expensive for you, Tom?
Well, it is when you can't get in there. So I went to the other place. I paid $3.30. I wish I'd paid a dollar.
Oh, look at you.
I was walking back so early in the morning, I tripped over, dropped all the coffee on the ground. Wouldn't have minded having some bubble wrap on the ground for that one.
Just on news of inheritances, guys. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, that Gina Rinehart, you know, Australia's richest woman, right? She gets really annoyed if you call her an heiress, like as if you suggest that in some way her wealth is based on her getting a lot of money from her father.
So how did she get her wealth, Craig?
She's a self-made woman. I would like to emphasise that Gina would like everyone to know she's a self-made woman.
Right.
She has made her money herself. Now, sure, she did inherit a $75 million company when her dad died, and it was getting about $12 million worth of royalties a year. But, I mean, that's just chump change. She has massively increased that. She's a self-made woman. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
okay.
She's not an heiress at all. Well, I mean, without that, she would be the same.
Yeah, basically $75 million is basically nothing.
It's
really. When you round it down to the nearest billion, it's basically nothing.
That's just a couple of houses in Point Piper. It's nothing at all.
Exactly. But also, I mean, she did have to work hard for that because didn't she have to sue her entire family and then her family sued her?
That's true.
That's a lot of hard work.
Her lawyer's probably the richest man in Australia, I think.
Yeah, she's a self-made woman and her... Well, made by her lawyers. Yeah, exactly. But so does anyone, if you see Gina Rinehart, just remember to call her a young Aussie battler.
Yeah, don't call her an heiress. She'll be upset.
Exactly. I mean, it's not exactly doing squeegee down the road, is it? But, yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to get $75 million when my parents die. I'm pretty sure of that. As a matter of fact, they've now moved. They live in a yurt now, so I don't want to be in the will.
I'm getting a storage unit full of crap that they put in there in 1993.
That's right.
I'm just going to have to spend years sorting through all the crap from my childhood. A little bit of rotten. That's what's in the will for me. Can't wait.
Looking forward to that. I
inherited something once.
What?
What did
when,
you get,
when
Charles?
My nana died, they actually said, oh, you're going to inherit something. And it was like, oh, this is...
You're an heir.
I am now an heir. Yeah, that's right. And I got a jumper. She gave me a jumper. She was a really avid knitter.
Even one she bought, stingy bugger.
At least she had time to finish it, Charles. I mean,
yeah. One of my mates actually got a couple of different cardigans from his grandmother, and he actually wore them. He was quite poor. He was a student. He wore them. It was the '90s, so it kind of looked like Kurt Cobain. It was quite a good look.
No, actually, and to be honest, it was a really nice thing to inherit. I then ended up losing the jumper. Which I really regret.
You lost the family fortune.
You're a self-made man now, though, I hope.
Yeah, see, Gina Reinhardt took $75 million, turned into $22 billion. You could have turned that jumper into a jumper empire.
Yeah.
It could have been the new Jenny Key. We're looking for Sydney's worst inheritance. Someone who really did not inherit much. Can you... something like the jumper or something terrible. Mm. If you have a really crappy inheritance story, we have a Christmas ham for you here at Triple M. We'll give you something. You built a whole empire of hams. 133353. We're looking for something you inherited that really wasn't very good.
And I think, to be clear, I think it's got to be really bad. It's got to be worse than $75 million.
Yeah, that's the benchmark.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 133353. Tell us about your inheritance. Chase the Lions open now. Let's go to Daryl from Cameray. Hey, Daryl.
Hey boys, the chase. What are you guys called? The Chasers or something?
Radio Chaser. Yes.
That'll do.
What did you inherit?
I inherited. My father died very suddenly once. Strangely enough, he died on the 11th of the 11th at 11 o'clock in Macquarie Street.
Oh dear!
Really?
Was everyone very quiet?
I like the way you said your father died very suddenly once, because I reckon to die very suddenly twice would be really bad luck.
That's a very good point, guys.
How did he die at that moment?
Well, they said he had a massive heart attack, but I find that very dubious. Mm. Because I said to the doctors, I'd like to see the body, but they said it's not a pretty sight.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And what did you leave you? What did you inherit?
I inherited, believe it or not, an old 360 V8 Chrysler, metallic blue, that had been driven into the ground over 20 years and was undrivable, so I left it in the yard for another 10 years.
That's good. Well, you know, but that's the good thing is, I mean, maybe you didn't get to drive it, but nothing says classy more than a car left in the yard on some bricks. So at least you got some great decoration.
Did you have a heart attack when you found out that was all that you had in the will? Let's keep going. Daryl, no, thanks for the story. We'll move on to Matthew in Horsley Park. We're looking for Sydney's worst inheritance, 133353 here on Radio Chaser. Hey, Matthew, what was your inheritance?
Yeah, morning, boys. Morning. I got a shoebox full of stamps and a couple of boxes of hot irons.
Hot irons? Well, this is good. I mean, were there any valuable stamps in there, or have you just used them to send mail since then?
Yeah. I guess I haven't had a text or anything like that yet.
Didn't inherit a good phone by the sounds. Yeah. Sorry, Matthew, what did you do with the stamps?
His phone's he's gone. He's gone.
He's got better things to do.
Yeah, he's got hot irons to play with.
We've got a primo Christmas ham here. What do we think? Who's getting it?
Chrysler. At least he stayed on the line.
Congratulations, Daryl. The bar was low and you passed it here on Triple M.
Have to be one of my all-time favourite songs, Smooth Operator by Sade. Triple Smooth FM. And I hope you're having a relaxing start to your day, whatever you might be doing. You might have dropped the little ones off at school, then pop back home to do a couple of chores. Now you're ready to put your feet up. Maybe you've poured yourself a nice glass of wine, even though it's not lunchtime yet. Maybe you pop down to the pub to work your way through a whole bottle. It's nice to have some me time, isn't it? Maybe you're now heading to the chemist to renew your prescription of Xanax. Whatever you're doing, sit back, pour yourself another glass of wine, pop a sedative or two, and maybe pop one or two more. Then maybe try taking Xanax in a cocktail of Valium, Stilnox and heroin. And to help you just relax a little bit further now... here's some Sade.
Radio Chaser on Sydney's Triple M.
Just checking through the local newspapers, guys. The St. George Shire Standard has a story that Kurnell has just approved a headquarters for Tempe Tyres that looks like a big tyre. So another big thing being built in Sydney.
Do the locals like it? Are they on board?
They're very unhappy.
They're unhappy.
It's a historic Kurnell. You shouldn't drive in and see a big tyre as the first thing on the way in.
You should see a big oil refinery, which is what you normally see.
Yeah, much nicer.
I like the fact they're opposed to this because they're really worried of, oh, God, we're just going to be swamped by people coming to visit and look at this big tyre building.
Yeah, to take their eyes off the rest of Kurnell.
But it just goes to show maybe Sydney does need some more big things in the area.
What do you mean? No, we don't. We need more big things. We've got big traffic. We've got the big eyesore on George Street.
The big delay. Yeah. The most famous landmark of Sydney.
Can I say one of the good things about coming here at 4 a.m, I rode past the thing and there's a few people still standing there doing nothing, even at 4 a.m in the morning.
Here at Mad Barry, you loved my crazy Christmas savings and our absolutely ridiculous January clearance. So this weekend we're taking stock and for 48 hours only we're having a massive, relatively sensible sale. Unbelievably modest, level-headed discounts on all items in this never-to-be-repeated bout of restraint. Couches, fridges, bedding and accessories all slashed by prudently moderate amounts. You won't believe these only slightly lower prices.
When I go shopping, I get completely overwhelmed by all the crazy clearances and ludicrous savings. Sometimes I just want to see stock that's only being conservatively reduced. Thanks, relatively sensible Barry.
I wanted a bedside lamp that normally retails for $29.95, but thanks to Barry's temporarily measured approach to discounting, I got it for a sweet $28.95. Thanks, relatively sensible Barry.
Yes, we've gone absolutely rational, so come on into our massive, relatively sensible sale this weekend. In fact, even calling it massive is probably overstating it somewhat. It's actually much closer to medium-sized or even between medium and small. That's this weekend only, and hurry, this level of sensibleness won't last!
Radio Chaser.
Triple M.
Yeah, so I was at Christmas shopping yesterday with my kids.
Doesn't it suck?
We were shopping for geckos. we're trying to work out whether to get a gecko or an axolotl.
Really? Where does one go for that? Is that Kmart?
Yeah, you go to... That's right. Well, if you want a really cheap gecko...
They break down after weeks.
No, we went out to Kellyville, actually. Mm. They've got a great pet shop out there where they sell pythons and really large... scary animals. My wife and I looked at the python and went, yeah, we're not getting a python.
Because you were going to get a python.
Yeah. As your close neighbour, yeah. I'm delighted. I actually saw a news story last week about a python killing a baby. So thank you from my 8-month-old child.
That was part of the thinking. Like, we did think, well, maybe we should get a python because Dom's got a baby.
But geckos, you know, I mean, they eat babies too, don't they? Aren't they?
Well, no.
If you train them right.
The thing about geckos is if you want to teach your kids the ability to get their parents to look after their pet for them, get a gecko. Because that's been the experience in my household. We've already got one gecko. And my kid is now expert at getting us to do all the minding of the gecko for him.
That's every stupid pet. That's every child goes, I will do the thing with a pet, and they never do.
Yeah.
I will pick up the poo of the dog. Yeah. Never happened once.
Yeah. Have you...
And geckos very low maintenance. I mean, I've seen them running across the walls in Asia and stuff. You don't have to do much for them.
They poo every day. You've got to scoop out the poo every day.
Yes. What, with a pooper scooper the size of a 1 cent coin?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've never had a look. Anyway, so we're in shopping centre. Harvey Norman had their Santa. You know, like there was a shopping centre set. Like there were three Santas.
Three
In the one. Do the thing.
That so ruins Christmas, sort of doesn't it?
No, that's the real Santa. Oh, no, that's the real Santa. No, that's the real. But my kids really wanted to go up and sit on his lap and have the photos and everything. He's just going, like, how is that not, like, at any other time of the year, if a kid says to you, oh, can we go and sit on a strange man's lap?
And get toys in return.
You say no. Exactly. So, I mean, what is the job interview for these guys?
Next.
Oh, hi, I'd like to apply for the job.
Oh, certainly. Now, do you like kids?
No, not really.
Oh, dear. Well, I don't think you're right for this job. Next.
Hi, I'd like to apply for the job.
Good. Do you like kids?
Oh, I love my kids. Really love them.
Great. Well, do you like them sitting on your lap?
Oh, can't think of anything better.
Excellent. What about photographing them?
Oh, yeah, love to take photos of my kids on my lap.
Right, perfect. Oh, what about giving them lollies to attract them?
Yeah, I give my kids lollies all the time.
Great, well, you've got the job. Now, if you could just get into this costume here to see if it fits.
Oh, Wait a minute, this isn't a Santa costume?
Santa? No, no, no. Well, this isn't a Santa job.
Well, what is it?
Well, this is the Catholic Church. You'll make the perfect priest.
Radio Chaser on Triple M.
Let's talk about breakfast itself. Everything you need to know about the most important meal of the day.
Fact that's amazing.
Well, that's right. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, according to the Kellogg's Institute for Selling More Cereal.
Fact.
Did you know that the only thing drier than the Simpson Desert is eating Weet-Bix without milk?
Fact.
Did you know that when you pour milk onto rice bubbles, Snap, Crackle and Pop do not appear to have a little chat? I'm still suing Kellogg's over that.
Fact.
Breakfast dates back to ancient Egypt. Paintings on tombs clearly show Pharaoh Tutankhamun wolfing down a sausage and egg McMuffin with a hash brown.
Fact.
The best breakfast for a hangover is bacon, eggs and a large bottle of vodka. That will definitely give you a hangover.
Extremely factual.
Did you know that the word breakfast, comes from the joining of two words? The words bre and akfast.
Fact.
Did you know that as well as being a popular breakfast cereal, Weet-Bix is also a handy way to insulate your roof?
Fact.
And finally, the first commercial breakfast cereal was made by Will Kellogg, who ground corn into flakes and sold them under the famous name Willie's Flaky Corns.
Definitely a fact.
Yes, we've got a big competition here on Radio Chase. So we've got Craig, Charles, Andrew and Dom with you this morning. And look, thanks to our friends at The Predator, this week we are giving away a $5,000 home entertainment package. Including
and a predator that will come to your house.
To take it back again. No, this is a series of it. It's 4K TV. There's Heos, the wireless multi-room music system as part of this package. We're giving one away. What you've got to do to win, 133353, it's all about hunting. The predator, of course, lands on alien planets and hunts for things. So we're having a bit of a hunt here in Sydney all week. And today, guys, we've got to choose who to hunt for today to kick this whole thing off.
Well, you know, thinking of predators, the thing in the news at the moment that reminds me of predators is that there's another shark attack. Does anybody feel like the sharks have changed their mind about eating people or attacking us?
Yeah. They got together. They had a meeting.
Yeah, I feel like for years it was always that you were afraid of it and everyone would go, oh, but if you look at the stats, there's only one a year or something. Yeah. I feel like they're constantly people getting eaten by sharks at the moment.
It's non-stop, isn't it? I mean, it's like they've got something against us or that they eat meat or something like that.
I think it's because they saw that documentary Sharknado and they realised there was a lot of upside in actually eating humans.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, sharks. But I don't know, would anyone have been, how many people would have been bitten by a shark? That seems like a bit of a narrow.
Well, you can go for it. 133353, if you've had an encounter with a shark. We might want to broaden it out to wild animals in general, though.
There's
all kinds of, Charles is having problems with geckos pooing all over his house.
Oh, they're vicious. When they bite your fingertip, oh my God.
I was attacked by a wild animal. It was a kangaroo. I got punched by a kangaroo when I was a kid because I thought I could go up and pat it because it looked really cute. And I looked up and went, hello, how are you? You know, like it was the cute little dog. And it just went poof and punched me in the chest with its front paw.
That's a much more impressive story than mine, because when I was a child, I was bitten by a duck.
Duck!
Whoa. By the River Torrens.
Oh, you're basically just Tarzan, Craig. I mean, that's so frightening.
You go up to a duck and you put your hand out to it and it bites it. Yeah. See, I should be winning this. I've been attacked by a duck.
All right. You're not quite going to make it into the prize draw. 133353. When have you been attacked by a wild animal? Hunting for the best story. It's all thanks to The Predator. The hunt has evolved. It's available on 4K, Blu-ray, DVD and digital from Wednesday the 12th of December. 133353, your call's next.
I've always thought that ducks were horrible animals, but now that I hear that one attacked Craig, I kind of like them.
Yeah, the cricket team's been having trouble with ducks as well. 133353, David, hello. Tell us about your animal encounter. David from Gladesville.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Just holidaying over in Fiji with the family. Swimming down amongst the fish down amongst the coral and stuff, and I got a little bit too close to the fingers around Nemo. He came out and bit me on the finger.
Oh, you got bitten by a Nemo fish?
Nemo fish. A cute orange and white thing.
It's not exactly a shark, is it? Come on.
That wasn't in the movie, though.
Yeah. They didn't put that in the movie, did they? That they're a vicious predator.
All right, I got bitten by Nemo. That's a great start. Let's go to another Dave in Sydney. Hey, Dave, what was your animal attack?
G'day, boys. Good to have you on in the morning.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, I got swooped by a magpie in the eye, and it gave me 3 stitches under my eye.
Oh, it actually
gave me a black eye.
It actually contacted with your face.
That's bad.
I was playing golf. I was about to have a putt, and I could just kind of hear it coming. Look up, got straight in the face, straight in the bottom of the eye, and it just blood started coming out everywhere.
He got a hole in one
there and a black eye.
Yeah, I reckon the magpie was probably as shocked as you were, because they generally kind of miss you. I think he stuffed that up.
That's why you got to wear the ice cream.
My head was down, and then I looked up, and then he's probably like, "Oh, yep."
So if you wear the ice cream bucket with the eyes on it, it works from behind. If it gets to you from the front, you just use it to collect all the blood.
It's not bad, not bad. I mean, it's magpie's still not quite a shark.
No.
Let's keep going.
Brian in Campbelltown's up next. Brian, your animal attack story?
Yeah, mate. Morning, Chasers. Yeah, it wasn't me. It was a mate of mine. He had a pet ferret, and he was telling me how tame they were. Oh. Well, he stuck his finger near its mouth, and it's latched onto him. So he's to get it off, he starts hitting it up the side of the house. Goes to the brick wall. And it's actually degloved his finger.
Oh.
And then the ferrets ran underneath the house. And it was there for about a month.
Oh, my
but
God.
I guess they're not that tame, are they?
See, that's why I don't believe the stories about Hollywood stars putting them down their pants. I don't think that's...
Yeah, it's tough. I love the fact that he just lived off his finger for a month under the house.
Yeah, they don't need to eat much, do they?
Yeah, that's great. All right, that's not too bad. We've still not got quite a shark. What else have we got here?
Oh, we got Adam on the Central Coast. Adam, what's your animal attack story?
Well, boys, I was driving a borrowed BMW in South Africa and was attacked by a lioness.
Ooh, wow. Wait, what, in the streets of Joburg, or was he actually in a park?
It was on a game park not far out of Joburg, actually, and I'd stopped to take some photos of another lion and had no idea. She got out of the grass, come up behind the car, jumped up on the boot and took a chunk out of the plastic spoiler, the hard rubber spoilers that the old BMWs had. And she proceeded to chase me for about 500 metres, trying to take swipes at the back tyre. I don't know if she was trying to take out what she thought were the legs of the car, but she was having a good old go.
Really? Wow. Lucky you got back in
there. White knuckle fever for a little while as I tried to get away, and
That's not bad. A
great
story.
Kind of can sympathise with her, because she was probably thinking, bloody BMW driver, so entitled.
Let's go to Daniel here in Botany finally. Hey, Daniel, what's your animal attack story?
G'day, I got attacked by a pelican.
Oh, they are vicious, aren't they?
Mr. Percival.
Yeah.
I reckon I was up the coast fishing when I was a kid with my brothers. They threw a handful of prawns up in the air and a couple landed down my shirt before I knew it. Was bowled over from behind by a pelican, started pecking the heck out of my back.
Never wear a prawn shirt near a pelican. Yeah. It's the lesson that we should all learn from
that. They didn't put that in the Storm Boy story, did they?
All right, guys, we've got the pelican attack, the lion, the pet ferret with the finger, and the Nemo fish and the magpie. Yeah, you guys know the draw.
I personally, look, I know it's not the best animal, but I like the pelican attack the most. Yeah. Yep. Attacked by a pelican is great. So I reckon, what do you reckon, Daniel?
It's pretty unusual. You don't hear of too many pelican attacks.
No, exactly. I mean, nowadays. A lion attacks every day in South Africa. But you know when pelicans
are pretty extraordinary.
You love Taronga Zoo sleepover package, Roar and Snore. Now get ready for Australia's newest 5-star glamping experience, Booze and Snooze. Spend the night in an alleyway behind one of the country's most notorious pubs with nothing but the soothing sound of pissheads to rock you and your loved one gently to sleep.
Oh, I love you, Sharon. Look, I haven't got your name tattooed on my dick.
Oh, that says Tiana.
You know I'm not good at spelling.
Our unique luxury tent, situated just inches from the pub's recycling bins, have been specially designed to immerse you in this completely pristine binge-drinking environment.
Sorry, guys, I think I just spit all over your luxury tent.
Don't worry, Bowser, I'll just wash it off with my piss.
Yeah. And if romance is on the agenda, book now for our special Valentine's Day offer, where every couple gets one night in a piss-stained tent, music bleed from a covers band who think people still can't get enough of the Proclaimers, and on the stroke of midnight, a free personalised glassing. Booze and snooze. Experience Australian culture like it really is.
Wow, it's like roar and snore, but these people are real animals.
Radio Chaser, yeah. Triple M.
Radio Chaser with you for breakfast all this week and next week. And, guys, the wedding of the year.
Oh, wedding of the century. Karl Stefanovic, Jasmine Yarborough's wedding. Oh, hasn't it? I've been loving the media coverage of this. It's been fantastic because it's been so full of crap. Yeah. Like, there's a great. This was one of my favourite headlines, right? Karl Stefanovic and Jasmine Yarborough's after party may include horses. Just may include horses. And this is when you actually went into it. This is the sentence that justified that headline. The couple's costumes are a closely guarded secret. Okay, nothing about dog. But it's believed they've spared no expense. Believed. It's believed they've spared no expense with entertainment installed for the evening, including a bongo drum player and perhaps arriving on horseback like Jade Jagger did in 1977.
They're getting married at a resort in Mexico. The bongo drum players are going to be everywhere for free, surely.
Yeah, I mean, this is just that is what you can just make up any shit. I'd love to be a wedding rider. You just come up with anything.
Perhaps.
Yeah,
but perhaps.
What other animals may they have arrived on?
You know, exactly.
Maybe rabbits or otters.
The reason why you get to ride anything is because they are Australian royalty.
Oh, they are, aren't they? Yeah.
You know, they are the closest we've got to Meghan and Harry or whatever.
Or whoever they are.
Yeah, whoever they are.
No, forget them. We're talking about Prince Carl.
The poor royal family, they spent all this money visiting Australia and Charles still doesn't know who they are.
That's right.
What a waste. The other great headline was, the wedding answer we all wanted to know. What was it that wanted to know, right?
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what it was?
What?
It was who emerged as the unofficial best dressed on the day.
Well, that was the question on my mind.
Yeah, I mean, the unofficial best dressed, which seems, as far as I can understand, the criteria for unofficial best dressed is who on Instagram that this person writing the article followed liked a few dresses.
Right. That's big. My question was, how can I avoid hearing more about Carl and Jasmine's wedding?
I know, exactly.
I think my favourite detail was they're in Mexico, the home of amazing tequila, great beer. Mm. They had a Bundy rum bar set up.
I know. They love their Bundy and rum. They love their Bundy. And maybe it'll transition. I mean, maybe the whole Mexico will just go, oh, this is much better.
Yeah, that's classy. That's how you want to do a classy wedding. Yeah. How do we know all the details of the wedding, Craig? I mean, did Carl explain them all to an Uber driver? Or?
I think they did give an exclusive interview to News Limited.
I think that, Andrew, the answer to that is that I think they invited the entire Australian media to the thing. There were 14 groomsmen and 14 bridesmaids.
Yeah, that's true.
I think basically half of Australia was at that wedding.
Yeah, that's true, actually, because they're trying to go, this is a secretive wedding.
Yeah.
And there's drones flying over and that. And they're going, how are these stories getting out?
It's going to be a secretive wedding, and it's going to be held at this resort in 2 weeks' time. That's what they said.
Well, it's great. Probably got bigger audiences than his TV show now. It's fantastic.
I'm so thirsty and there's no water left.
When you're locked in a bunker and the water runs out, there's only one thing to do.
Looks like I'm going to have to drink my own urine.
Uh-uh. Now you can drink other people's urine with new Yellow Springs Deluxe Sparkling Urine. Lightly sparkling for that luxurious experience.
Mmm, it's from Europe.
Sourced from only the finest urinals high in the French Alps. Or for something even more decadent, try Yellow Springs with lemon. The Yellow Springs you know and trust, with a twist of lemon-scented urinal cake.
Ah, I feel like George Clooney.
Yellow Springs. Stockpile it today.
Honey, why didn't you just stockpile more water?
Oh, yeah.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
Our next guest took a helicopter to the outside. One of the most extraordinary stories in the Australian media. You would have seen it on the news back in 1999. A woman called Lucy Dudko landed a stolen chopper at Silverwater Jail to break out her boyfriend, John Killick. It was like a scene out of a movie, an amazing moment. And John Killick's written a book about that. He's got a new book out as well called On the Inside. And he's here to tell us all about that extraordinary day. John Killick, good morning.
Good morning, yeah. Thanks for inviting me in.
Good to have you here. I remember this story so well, but I have gone a little bit hazy on some of the details. How long were you planning this, like this whole helicopter pickup thing?
Well, this is one of the reasons I wrote that book, the last book, The Last Escape, because there was so much information, misinformation out there about it, that it really had, we had to put it on, I had to put it on record. Really, we planned it, you could say, from the time I was arrested, because Lucy came out and we discussed it, and she thought, will you get bail? I said, I'm not going to get bail. And we just thought about it. There was a lot going on that people don't know, and I put it in the book. She was getting threatened, her life. She actually felt that her life was in danger. And we decided to get out, and because I'd had a record, a history of escaping a few times, we knew that we'd probably have to do something.
Something big.
We had to think laterally, and it just, I saw so many, everything fell into place, really. It probably wouldn't have happened any other time, but it was just before the Olympics, A lot of scenic flights coming over. Probably 20 helicopters a day were coming over.
They were too.
Yeah, well, they were coming over. And normally in a prison, if a helicopter comes anywhere near a prison, they're on guard. But seeing 20 a day coming around and looking at the jail, the guards, they sort of...
kind of used to it.
Yeah, they just didn't take a lot of notice. So we had that in our favour. And then the real ace was when a helicopter pilot actually... was a con man, was extradited over from South Africa, and put him in my cell.
That's handy. How do you find a helicopter to do this? How did Lucy actually find the chopper?
Well, no, she had to hire one, and she hired and did her a trial run.
A joyride.
A joyride, yeah. You paid for it. No, I think it was about $160.
I think from memory, though, that it's not like when you go for a joyride, you can tick the box that says, on the way, I'd like to pick somebody up from Silverwater Jail, is it? Like there was a little bit of, she had to kind of push him to do that, right?
Well, no, the first one was quite okay.
Scenic ride?
Scenic ride, yeah, and had a look. But she learned... because I'd learned from the helicopter pilot myself that where the transponder was, and she knew, and she came back and visited me and said, "Well, look, we can do this."
There you go.
That's until then we didn't really know if we could do it or not.
The thing I find amazing about this though is that it's not like it went without a hitch. Like when this helicopter landed to pick you up in the exercise yard. They were actually shooting at it, right? Like it was kind of adventure movie shooting at the thing.
Well, yeah, we got shot. They actually hit the chopper three times.
She lost the deposit. Damn.
Well, actually, she did. There's $40 she didn't get back. But no, she's never gone and asked for that. But the thing is, they weren't supposed to shoot. That's why I'd read a book called Flight of the Falcon and Robert Lindsay. And in it, he outlined that under the Geneva Convention, they're not allowed to shoot at aircraft because it could be a hostage situation. But see, you've got to look at it, even though they shouldn't have shot at it. It's really my fault. I accept the blame, and I put people in danger. Yeah, people could have been killed, and that's why we got such a big sentence. And I accept that it was wrong. It was a bad thing to do.
John, what did you do? Where did you land the helicopter, and where did you hide out?
We landed over at Christie Oval near Macquarie Shopping Centre.
Just to pick up some stuff. Yeah, it's good. It's got some sales on there at Macquarie.
It's got a good ice rink. You could have gone ice skating.
Well actually, we had a car, but Lucy'd forgotten the keys. She did a lot of things and she couldn't...
Yeah, that's fair. And, she remembered helicopter, forgot keys of car.
I had to sort of accept that and... we had to commandeer a car, and we commandeered a car, drove it to down to Milson's Point, and got on a train, and she'd already had a motel booked, and then we stayed there for the night. And the publicity was enormous, and you know, you realise straight away the trouble you're in when you see the publicity.
Yeah.
And that little helicopter pilot conned me. He said, oh, look, they happen in Ireland all the time. They'll hush it up a bit.
Biggest story.
So where did you hide out? You were on the road run for 42 days. Where did you go to?
Well, Lucy dyed my hair and she said, look, you're looking a lot younger now. And so we travel mostly by train and stopped in, stayed in various country towns.
Did you stay in Goulburn for a while as well?
Well, yeah, she'd already booked her hotel there, a motel ahead, and stayed there. But I went down to get the newspapers on the Saturday morning. It was Golden Slipper Day, I remember. And I went down to get the newspaper, and I practically bumped straight into an officer, and I'd been at Golden Jail only about a month before.
Yeah,
and
going to a town that's also renowned for having a jail didn't seem a genius.
It's clever, needle in a haystack.
What I'm really impressed by this story is, though, it's a real story to talk up the importance of public transport. I really like the way, John, a lot of trains taken there. And then your new book is called On the Inside, about your years, because, you know, while it was a good getaway, you did get caught and put away for extra few more years.
I'm not a successful criminal.
No, exactly. Yeah, it's not a great. I wouldn't go to it as a how-to book, guys. So what's on the inside cover?
No, absolutely. Actually, the previous book, The Last Escape, is really about, you know, what not to do. And I try and get across to young people. Even now, I'm mentoring a lot of young guys, and you can see some of them on the edge. And, I often think, gee, I wish I'd had a mentor.
Always remember the keys to the getaway car.
that's the first thing.
Nowadays, you've got to remember your Opel card too.
and get your change before you get in the chopper too.
Yeah,
But on the inside, was the idea of the editor, Alan Whitaker at New Holland, he said, look, why don't you write about all the people that you've met over the years in the different jails? Yeah. Because other people have written about them, but people haven't met them and haven't lived with them. And you know, the public's got a perception of what it's like in jail, but they see it on television. They don't really know what it's like and what the people like. And the first thing I always get asked, what's it like walking up and down with murderers and things? And, you know, murderers, people in there for killing, they seem like quite normal. And you can't just turn around and say, oh, that guy's a murderer. You can walk up and down with some of the worst killers in Australia.
Did anyone scare you, though, on the inside?
Just one guy. Way back when I was a kid, Lennon Lawson, he sort of came on to me. And he was a bit of a sexual deviant. But this guy that goes back, he did about 54 years in jail. A couple of girls here. But, he scared me. I was explaining it in the book. And I've actually told his story. But there's a lot of good stories in it. And some of the astounding stories that people don't know about, like Cecil Bartholomew, he killed 10 people. He wiped his whole family out, kids, the whole, you know, little kids. And he only did 7 years. It was over in South Australia. I met him in 79. And it's just an astounding story, really. And he got out and married another lady who had 7 kids. And lived a good life, and apparently was a good father. So it's a remarkable story.
Turnaround.
But he should never have got out.
Really. No, exactly.
Another one, David Zacks over there now. My lawyer, I had a lawyer when I got extradited over to South Australia. It's the only one I didn't do, a bank robber I didn't do. Roger Rodderson was one of the guys that verled me. And what happened, the lawyer I had, this young David was convicted of killing him and putting him in a freezer because he was his lover. And now he's still fighting that case about 40 years later.
Some amazing yarn. So there you go. If you're a true crime fan, one to look out for on the inside.
Everybody loves crime nowadays. It's the main thing. You should think of a podcast. On the inside.
John Kelly, thank you for joining us. On the inside is the book.
Yeah, published by New Holland, and I think it's a pretty good read. Yeah.
Available at all good bookstores and in occasional jails if it can be smuggled in.
On sale now, the Family Argument Box Set. This Christmas, binge on your favourite arguments, from passive-aggressive.
No, that's fine. I'll cook every single f***ing thing.
To aggressive-aggressive.
You haven't even lifted a single finger to help me f***ing cook this dinner.
All your favourites from your overbearing parents.
Listen, you may be his wife, but my son loves me more than he loves you, okay? So back off.
As well as classics dredged up from the past.
I still say the worst character
character on Friends was Ross.
No, it wasn't. It was Monica.
Buy now and we'll throw in the complete set of racist uncle arguments.
I reckon that Pauline Hanson's a bit of a fox and she's got a lot of sensible ideas.
Including the ones that don't even make sense.
I just reckon that if immigrants come here, they should eat proper Aussie tucker like kebabs and fried rice and butter chicken.
The Christmas Family Argument Box Set. There's one for everyone.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
There really isn't.
There is.
I'm telling you there is not.
No, there is.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
Wrong.
This is Radio Chaser on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
Radio Chaser with you for breakfast. Andrew, Charles, Craig and Dom. Coming up, Cat's Pyjamas or Cat's Piss. And guys, I've got a Thomas Markle update for you. I know we love talking about Megan's dad.
Good to hear. I've got a question for you guys, because I was involved with a bit of an incident over the weekend. And I'm wondering, because the Westpac Rescue Helicopter has a Twitter account, right? And they put out a tweet about this particular incident, and I feel like they've slightly defamed me and they've got it slightly wrong what happened. Do you think I can get them to change the tweet to make it more accurate?
Are you telling us that you got rescued in some way by a rescue helicopter, Craig?
Look,
complaining that their tweet was inaccurate? what are you telling us? I'm confused.
Look, okay, hang on a sec. So what happened? So I went down the coast with some mates this weekend, right? Now, I'm a bit mad for a very cheap boat purchase on Gumtree, right? So recently I got this little dinghy thing and I thought I'll take it, you know, because I sailed once or twice when I was a kid. I thought that'd be fun to go for a sail, right? So we go out and put together this boat. Well, kind of put it together. I think this is probably one of the moments early on where I thought maybe we shouldn't go. Is that we're on the beach. There's a lot of wind. It's all kind of coming in.
Yeah.
And we're putting the boat together. And I didn't know how to put it together. And we were using a phone and like Googling pictures of boats to figure out how to put the ropes together.
You bought a self-assembly boat.
No, it was just a boat, but I'd forgotten how to put them together.
You didn't look up the Titanic, did you?
Yeah, bloody well should have. So anyway,
what boat has to be put together anyway?
Yeah, sailboats, you've got to put sails on, and then they've got all these ropes and shit, and you don't know where the ropes go. Anyway, it got to a point where I was pretty confident that it was a boat, and we did. At this point, it did seem like a lot of wind, but this is the thing, when you're an inexperienced sailor, you go, oh, lots of wind must be good for sailing. All right, lots of wind is good, right?
Yeah.
So we headed out.
Very fast.
Very fast. We did not get very far. I reckon we got 10 metres before we tipped this boat over. And I think within about, in the first 10 minutes of this sailing expedition, we had tipped this boat over about 5 or 6 times.
Oh, wow.
All the sailing involved was tipping it one way, lifting it up, and then we would just literally have to hang on to the back of the boat, and he would get picked up by the wind and just drag us along.
So are you saying
drag us?
Your first voyage with a new boat was in the ocean where you could have been blown over to New Zealand.
It was in Jervis Bay, but Jervis Bay's bloody big, I tell you that. So anyway, we got to the point where we realised that there was just too much wind. There was definitely too much wind. So we pulled the we pulled the big sail down, whatever the big, I don't know what you're doing. I am very good at sailing.
The main sail.
There you go. We pulled that down and we were just sailing off the little sail at the front, right?
Yeah, the jib.
There you go, jib. See, you know more. Why were you there? You know all these words.
I used to sail.
So it's still so powerful. It's dragging us along. And we couldn't turn around. So we are going, we cannot turn it around, but we can go forward. And we can't go back to where we've left. So this is it. This is where I'm starting to get a bit annoyed, right? Because we did what I think is a pretty good job. We managed to direct it to another beach on the other side.
Right. Yeah.
And we're good job.
I think we're going pretty good at this point. And then as we're going towards this thing, the jib, the one bit of sail that we have left, right, it's so much wind, it just tears in half. So we're now sailing on a boat with no sails
at
all.
So you're not technically sailing at this point,
are you? Not sailing at all.
You're more floating.
I would occasionally hold up the mainsail a bit and hold it in my arms just to get a bit more wind. And this is the thing, is that this is when the Westpac Rescue Helicopter turns up. And I'm already managing to get us to the beach using my handheld sail. So this is what I'm doing. We managed to land it on the beach as the Westpac rescue helicopter is landing.
Oh, wow.
It's landing to rescue us. So it got there. And this is what they write in the tweet. Two persons located on rocks. Rescue crew officers checked their welfare and both are okay. Now, we did land on rocks. I managed to land on the beach. I really want this corrected, Westpac rescue helicopter. I want all full right. credit.
I think of all the mistakes made that day, yeah, Rucastle, exactly. the rocks is not the biggest.
No, but this is the point, is the only thing that I did right that entire day is that I didn't land it on rocks.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're not alone. 133353. If you've ever been saved, whether by the Westpac chopper or someone else, we want to hear your story. 133353. We'll give a Christmas hand to the best call, and maybe you can make Craig feel better about his crap sailing.
And
that's
Westpac,
next.
I want this corrected.
Well, we've just heard an extraordinary story from Craig Rucastle, who put together a boat which basically broke down in the middle of Jarvis Bay over the weekend. 133353, if you've ever been rescued, like Craig was, by the rescue helicopter, but he's saying it wasn't a rescue.
They didn't rescue me. The problem is, this is it, is that they got there by the time I'd rescued myself. There was another moment where we go, oh, here comes the rescue boat. Like, we thought there was a rescue boat, and we're going, finally, we really need this. It turns out it's a whale-watching boat. It just went straight past us. They all kind of wave. It's like we are literally floating in a cyclone with no – we've got broken sails. We're floating them in the ocean. What made you think we were okay at that point?
No, they were probably just going to go get some whale. Sharks.
So, hang on. You're complaining that the whale-watching boat didn't rescue you.
Yeah.
And then you're angry with the rescue helicopter doing its job and pit –
I'm saying is that the risk is that I'd made it to a beach by the time they got there. I love the Westpac. I'm very glad they got there.
All right.
I'm very glad they came.
Let's hear some stories of your being rescued adventures. Brad is on the line from North Ryde. Brad, when were you rescued?
This was about 5 years ago. I actually had quite an experienced sailor. I was sailing on Sydney Harbour, and I got flicked off a yacht into the harbour at about 30 knots of wind. The yacht charged off without me, left me behind, but somebody's seen it and called the police rescue helicopter.
Yeah.
I've been sort of chucked the floaty by a couple of guys on a kayak who were just paddling past. And then the police helicopter is doing low laps over the harbour trying to find his body, being me.
Oh, that's awesome. They've called it early. No, he's dead.
They've called it early. And anyway, so that was all right. So eventually the yacht came back, picked me up.
Oh, so you didn't get to get picked up by the rescue helicopter? Because this, I think, what I'm slightly annoyed about is that if this helicopter got there slightly earlier, I could have got that thing where they pick you up.
With the winch.
Where the guy comes down and winches
you.
I really wanted the winching. This is what I'm annoyed about.
Yeah, we all want to be winched up into a helicopter, don't we? It's every man's dream.
Why else does somebody go out with no sailing experience into cyclonic winds if not to get a winch into
the
helicopter?
So the police rescue helicopter, the Westpac rescue helicopter, should we call it the getting there too late helicopter?
It's just too late. You guys owe me a winch.
All right, Brad, that's a great story. We'll chuck a Christmas ham your way. Merry Christmas, and make Christmas worth remembering with a primo Christmas ham on the bone. Thanks for the call. Up next, Cat's Pajamas or Cat's Piss on Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser Summer Breakfast, now with 10% more fibre to keep it regular. 104.9, Sydney's Triple M.
Your season's over. You want to let your hair down by having sex with a goat in front of your teammates at a family-friendly pub in the Rocks. But not in a weird way. It's tradition. You need Mad Monday Bitter. A year's worth of alcohol in every glass. That's 200 beers, 38 bottles of wine, 17 ciders, and 33 pre-mixed drinks distilled into one tasty schooner.
Mild.
It's a coma in a cup, all sanctioned by your favourite footy club, Mad Monday Bitter. One sip and you'll feel your inhibitions disappear. Along with all your clothes.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser with you for breakfast. Just half an hour to go in our first ever breakfast shift. I'm amazed we're still on the air, guys.
We've nearly made it. Yeah, given we are doing this breakfast radio thing, we should really leverage it. Because, you know, whenever people have radio shows, they always get shit made for them, you know, like chips or pies or stuff like that. Yes.
Oh, what can we get?
Well, I'd rather something that's a bit more alcoholic is the word I think I'm looking for. What about, you know, like a whiskey or a beer or something like that?
Well, I've always wanted to make a beer.
You always want to make a beer?
Yeah, like a chaser beer.
Imagine having a chaser beer. Charles, you always wanted to, Charles is such a, let's do an airline, chaser airline. Let's see.
Yeah.
But I reckon we could probably pull off a beer slightly
easier. But it's got to have a good idea behind it. Like the beer.
So hang on a sec. The idea of just beer is not enough for you?
Well, no. It's a very crowded. It's a very crowded market nowadays, Craig. There's all these craft brewers who have all innovative things.
It's true. Whereas thousands of years ago, somebody came with seems to get you drunk.
Yeah.
Belgian monks.
But the idea that I've got that I think would make us a lot of money is baby formula beer, and you sell it to China because they can't get enough of baby formula.
Is that for the babies or for the adult? Do you go, I've run out, doesn't matter, got it, some formula.
I'll tell you, when you have a baby, you need a beer. For both.
It's a bit of both. A bit of alcohol, nothing wrong with a bit of alcohol. Yeah.
In powdered form. So I'd be mixing my little daughter's formula and then mix myself a beer out of the powder.
One for daddy, one for baby.
This is great. Bad. And the thing is, baby formula actually tastes really good as well. It's delicious. It's absolutely, I love it. So I'd be a big fan of that.
I think there's also the other parts of the market. I was thinking about where there's a hole in the market. Like you've got your new beers, you've got your old beers, but there's no middle-aged beer.
That's true.
Tell me middle-aged. It's kind of paunchy and exhausted.
Gives you a really fat tummy.
It just feels a bit
perfect for us, wouldn't it? I mean, there's all these flavours. I'm trying to think of my favourite foods because, there's a lot of flavoured beers now. Yeah. They've got coriander and stuff like that. Well, my favourite foods are ice cream and sushi. And I'm thinking both of them could probably make a pretty good beers. Mm. Maybe even together. Maybe even an ice cream sushi beer.
Yeah. I'll tell you the one thing it can't be is those no carbs. I said one of those no carbs ones over the weekend. Yeah. And it has not only no carbs, but no flavour. It's like it's less flavour than water. So what about if we went one that was only carbs?
We'll make some calls after the show, see if we can work out a chaser beer. Sounds like a good idea.
Cat's pajamas or cat's piss.
Yes, Charles, Craig and Andrew, the first story is from news.com.au and it's about America's best dad, Thomas Markle. He's come out and said that Meghan's first wedding in 2011, it took place in Jamaica. He claims that all of the guests were given a party bag containing weed. What do you think of that as an idea for a wedding? Cat's pajamas or cat's piss?
That is cat's pajamas. It makes me want to divorce my wife, then propose to her and get married again to her just so we could do that at our wedding.
Yeah, it's cat's pajamas. And can I defend Megan on this? Everyone's going on as if this is something to do with Megan, this is her fault. If you have a look at the laws of having a wedding in Jamaica, it's compulsory to do that. It's like where we have to say, can anyone object to whatever? You have to have it. It's just a normal thing.
Yeah, of course it is over there. The cake itself is supposed to be made of hash.
It's a hash cake.
It's enormous. I think it's cat's pajamas too, because it's so hard to think about what to give as those little wedding takeaway things. Mm. When you get married, you're racking your brains. Mm. And, illegal drugs is the easy answer.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it's a lot better than if you have your wedding in Colombia.
Probably did it for the second wedding too, given that she married Prince Harry. Okay, now the president of Nigeria, a man called Muhammadu Buhari, has denied that he has died and been replaced by a Sudanese clone. Should we replace world leaders with clones? What do you think, cat's pajamas or cat's piss? Because that's what a clone would have said, isn't it?
That is exactly what a clone. It's just... What's going on?
This is a great story. So he's in Poland. Yeah. He was sick for quite a lot of the year in London, and there was a rumour that he had died and been replaced by a clone.
You know what Scott Morrison should have done? Scott Morrison should have said, no, I'm actually Malcolm Turnbull.
Yeah.
And just replaced him. And no one would have noticed. The polls would have been much better.
Exactly the same. Yeah. Exactly. Look, I mean, to be fair, if Scott Morrison died and was replaced by a Sudanese clone, nobody would complain. You'd go up in the polls.
In fact, if you're a Sudanese clone, please come and save the Liberal Party. Could do very, very well indeed. And finally, a New Zealander has said that being called a Kiwi has ruined her life. She is suing her employer, Villy's Cakes, for calling her a Kiwi over many years.
Mm. And the thing about this story that I find interesting is that she is a Kiwi. That's an important part of the thing.
Careful, Brooke. She'll sue you.
It's interesting that now New Zealanders find it defamatory to call them New Zealanders.
Do you have an idyllic life in a beautiful home? Ruin it all by moving. AAA Aardvark Advanced Ace Quality Cheap Removals are the absolute cheapest movers. So despite the AAA awful online reviews, you'll definitely book us. Only $5 an hour, plus an unbelievable amount of surcharges. Call out time, petrol charge, lunch break, ciggy break, standing around time, miscellaneous charge we won't explain but you'll pay because we're so physically intimidating, plus tax and insurance. Oh, and don't forget the tax on the insurance. Stand awkwardly around as our massive guys carry all your stuff into the truck and judge you.
Wow, this bridge is an overpriced piece of shit, eh?
Yes, Mr. Mover, sir.
And we'll look after your stuff like it's our own.
Hey, mate, catch this box of expensive wine glasses. Whoops! Hope you're insured.
We love repeat business and our guys would love to come back anytime.
We're definitely not casing your joint.
Aardvark Advanced Ace Quality Cheap Removals. We're still better than lugging it yourself.
Sorry, EFBOS machine's down. You'll have to pay cash.
How do you know it's down?
Because we never brought it here in the first place.
This is Radio Chaser on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
Radio Chaser is brought to you by Seven Summer of Cricket. Catch all the action. Except when Nathan Lyon is on a hat-trick, in which case catch all our ads instead.
Yeah, look, when Channel 7 stole the cricket off Channel 9, I was doubtful, Craig. But you know, big thanks to our sponsor today because, you know, like, it's so innovative. I really wanted to see two really awkward people standing in front of a touchscreen instead of watching the cricket.
No, it's great. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, the best part about doing Breakfast Radio, we're done now. Yeah. We can go and drink beers and watch the last day of the test. And what, it starts at about 11 o'clock?
Yeah.
Sean Marsh is in. Yeah. I reckon I'll get one beer in.
Exactly. But hopefully it'll be a thrilling day and we'll be able to miss all the key moments. Like, you know, if there's another hat trick on the thing, we'll be able to watch the ad that covers the hat trick.
The ads are better than the hat trick.
Yeah.
Hey, stay with us. Coming up, your first crack at Triple M's $20,000 hearing test during the workday. Radio Chaser back with you for breakfast tomorrow from 6 with another chance to potentially win that home entertainment system. Catch you then.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.